Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, dear friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, speaking to you from New York City. And I hope that you come visit New York sometime. And it's a little pricey, I admit. It's a little busy, that's for sure. But I think that it would be a great place for you to go. And honestly, it really does. This is no joke. It has the best bagels in the world. So if you want a good bagel, man, you got to come to New York City. And the pizza's close behind. And so there's a lot of great things to do in New York City. Wonderful museums, parks, and a lot of tall buildings, and most of all, a lot of Jewish people. And that's why we're here. We are here to reach Jewish people for the Lord Jesus. And right now we're studying Romans 9, 10, 11, which expresses Paul's heart and burden for his own people. And it's the same burden and heart I have as a Jewish believer. And Bobby, can a Gentile believer have a heart and a burden for reaching Jewish people with the gospel?
Oh, my goodness, yes. If that wasn't the case, I wouldn't be here right now.
Oh, you're not here for the bagels. Okay, no. Well, I got that. And so we're working our way Jewish style through Romans 9, 10, 11, by starting with 11, going back to 10, then eventually to 9. We're sort of expanding on chapter 10 here, because this is the heart of the evangelistic motivation. Where Paul really spells it out. He talks about his burden. He talks about in chapter 9. He talks about the future in chapter 11. But he really talks about the everyday effort to bring the gospel to the Jewish people in chapter 10. And once again, in verse 14, we read, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher?" And so, dear friends, we will never reach the 6 million plus Jewish people in the United States, or the almost 8 million Jewish people in Israel and around the globe. There are probably 15.5 to 16 million Jewish people in the world. There's no way our little remnant of Jewish believers is going to do that. Even though Chosen People's operating in 20 countries, it's just a spit in the bucket. You know, and so we really need your help to be a proclaimer of the good news to the Jewish people. And it's a promised success story, actually, because earlier in verse 13, Paul says, "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." And so we know that if a Jewish person will call on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved the same way a Gentile who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so in verse 15, we read, "How will they preach unless they are sent?" You know, I love that part, Bobby, because what we want to do is equip and send both Jewish and Gentile believers into the harvest field to reach Jewish people with the gospel. So tell me, how did God work in your life as a Gentile believer to cause you to actually become a missionary to the Jewish people? Can you tell us that? Under an hour?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could trim it down. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so as you know, Mitch, I grew up in New Jersey, didn't grow up in any kind of believing home, just very secular, and was radically saved and transformed at the age of 19. And I had to get away from friends and influences in New Jersey, so I moved down to West Palm Beach, Florida. And it was while I was down there, I started to, you know, bounce around different churches, and a few years go by, and I get connected at First Baptist Church in West Palm Beach, which is now called Family Church. Wonderful, wonderful church. And while I was there, I met a young guy, and he was just like brimming with enthusiasm and just very extroverted and kind of eccentric, loved the Lord. And he started sharing with me some Jewish nuggets from the New Testament. And I said, "Where are you getting this?" And he said, "Oh, you got to come to this Bible study." So I went to the Bible study with him, and it was being taught at the church. And it was a Jewish roots of the faith, Jewish backgrounds of the New Testament kind of study that was being taught by a Chosen People Ministries staff member. So I went and I heard the Bible study, and I was just blown away. I was really drawn to a deep desire to dig in deeper and understand more about these Jewish backgrounds of the New Testament. It's like all these light bulbs were going off, you know? So the story continues. 2 days later, after my first exposure to meeting Jewish believers and hearing about the Jewish backgrounds of the faith, 2 days later, our group of friends, we were in a bookstore, and we meet a young Orthodox Jewish man. And he was about our age, early 20s. And one of the young ladies in our group started talking with him, and it turns out he had a lot of questions about the Messiah, and he was very open. And some of his questions, he would go to his rabbi, and his rabbi wasn't giving him satisfactory answers. One of the questions he had was, who is God talking to in Genesis when he says, "Let us make man in our image"? So we invited him to come down to a Friday night, Erev Shabbat, that's a Sabbath evening service that Chosen People was hosting down in Boca Raton, Florida. And he came. So there's a service, there's music, there's a teaching, there's, you know, it's wonderful. After the service, everyone is sitting around, drinking coffee, having snacks, schmoozing. And I just watched and listened as my new young Orthodox friend got into a conversation with Ben, who is the Chosen People staff member. And for 20 minutes, they're going back and forth, back and forth. And every question that my young Orthodox friend had, Ben had the answer and was pointing him to the Messiah, pointing him to Jesus. So 20 minutes go by, the room got quiet, and the room, it was like, it was heavy. And you could see the look on my young friend's face. Like, he looked scared. So Ben looks at him eye to eye, and he simply said, "You know it's him, don't you?" And his eyes filled up with tears. He nodded his head in agreement, and he just began to weep. And when this happened, when my young, new Orthodox friend was acknowledging that Jesus is indeed the Messiah that he's been praying for, that his family's been praying for, when that happened, God just laid a heavy burden on my heart. I knew in that moment that he was calling me to be a part of that, to be a part of Jewish people being presented the gospel and Jewish people responding to the gospel. So that was the turning point for me.
Wow. Well, it's a short success, because when Jewish or Gentile people call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved.
Amen.
And he doesn't make it that hard. He wants us to turn from our sins, as we know them, and to accept him as Messiah and Lord. And so here's one of the objections and challenges that Jewish people have, Bobby, that you've dealt with many times over. And that is that most Jewish people think that believing in Jesus and being Jewish is impossible. Mm. We hear it this way: you can't be Jewish and believe in Jesus. And so these are Jewish people who may not even be religious, but they understand that Jesus is just not for the Jewish people. Now, in order to really understand this, we have to sort of look into church history, which we might do in over the next couple of weeks a little bit more. But in general, Bobby, why did Jewish people become of the opinion that being Jewish and believing in Jesus are antithetical or incompatible? I mean, why is that? You know, sometimes I even question that after 50 years as a believer. You know, why is it that way? What is it that Jewish people know that makes them feel that way, that a Jew can't be a Jew if they believe in Jesus? And that, you know, I put it this way, Bobby. I once heard it this way, actually. It was someone from a very strong opposition group to what we do. And they actually said, being Jewish and believing in Jesus is like eating a ham and cheese sandwich at a bar mitzvah. Okay. So can you unpack this just for a minute for our listeners? Because this is going to be very helpful to know as we walk into relationships and conversations with Jewish people like Ben did, so that we can understand how best to respond to Jewish objections like this.
Yeah, well, I think the big answer to that is the fact that there is so much historical baggage that goes along with, you know, with Jewish-Christian relations. Sadly, very early on in the history of the church, more and more people from the nations, more Gentiles came to faith, and that was a wonderful thing. But one thing we saw was this distancing from anything that has to do with Judaism or Jewish people that fomented in those early years of the church. And this ultimately led not just to like a, you know, oh, we're going to kind of separate and do our own thing where it's, you know, a cordial separation. No, it devolved into just really harsh anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish sentiments that just grew like, you know, like leaven in a lump spreading throughout the entire church. And it just continued over centuries. So you see people very early, some of these church fathers who had some very, very anti-Semitic things to say about the Jewish people. And it continued on into Christian Europe in the Middle Ages, where Jewish people would be expelled from these Christian dominant countries. It continued even during the Reformation period. Some of the earliest great reformers, like Martin Luther, you know, for all the good that he did, he also had some very harsh things to say about the Jewish people toward the end of his life. And it continued through the Enlightenment, where the Jewish people began to become the targets and blamed for all sorts of different things throughout Europe and America and other parts of the world. So, you know, this is something that as evangelical Christians, we may not think about all that much, but for a Jewish person, it's on the front burner. I mean, it's at the forefront of a Jewish person's mind, this dark and heavy anti-Semitic history. So that would be my answer, that it's just this inherited understanding that Christians have persecuted Jewish people throughout their entire existence. And therefore, to entertain the idea that Jesus, the God of the Christians, is indeed the Jewish Messiah, is anathema. It just doesn't fit.
And so all the theological objections, which we'll cover a little bit later, it's fundamentally, it's a Jewish worldview. It's part of Jewish culture, heritage.
Right.
It's just, we really do identify ourselves as being Jewish partly by the fact that we're not Christians. Mm-hmm. And we don't believe it. We have a different day of worship. We have Saturday. We have a different Bible, which is the old, quote unquote, Old Testament, which for the Jewish people is just the Bible. So there are a lot of these distinctives that divide and that keep us away from even thinking about becoming believers in Jesus. And I'm haunted by the words of my grandmother, my dear beloved grandmother, who lived to 102. And when she understood that I'd become a believer in Jesus, whatever she understood, because they came from Belarus and they were from the area of the former Soviet Union, where there was just a tremendous persecution of Jewish people. And then, of course, Hitler came in. And so the persecution that they experienced was from the Russian Orthodox and clergy and so on, and from the the everyday people from that area who were quote-unquote Christians. And then, of course, they went on, and my family, not my grandparents per se, but all their family were wiped out. I mean, totally destroyed, their whole culture, their whole society. It was a bloodbath in Belarus by Hitler, who, of course, was German, who, of course, you know, the Germans were Christians. And so this whole background is really tough, but it was years and years and years of feeling defensive against Christianity in order to survive that caused the Jewish people to say, you cannot be Jewish and believe in Jesus. So when I told my grandmother, she said, you know, I love you, but we left Eastern Europe to get away from these people, and now you become one of them. And, and then she never talked to me again. And it was just heartbreaking because the impression that most everyday Jewish people had about Christianity was negative. And they didn't know anything about Jesus. As we said, they never read the New Testament. They didn't really know anything about Jesus. But the Jewish attitudes towards Christianity were forged by centuries of negative experiences in Eastern Europe. And so many of the Jewish people that you're going to meet, dear friends, are going to be from an Ashkenazic or an Eastern European background. Some will be Sephardic from North Africa and so on, but not quite as many probably where you live. And so there is this negative attitude. And so we can say, hey, you can be Jewish and believe in Jesus, he's your Messiah. Easy for us to say, but what kind of ears does it fall upon? Mm-hmm. So then, Bobby, just for, not for argument's sake, but how do you counter this, that most Jewish people think you can't be Jewish and believe in Jesus? What are some of the tools and resources even that Chosen People makes available to fellow Christians as to how we can try and change the opinion of Jewish people about this whole separation between Judaism and Christianity? What do we have available that can help?
Right, right. Well, I think one thing to keep in mind is that we have to be aware of this history going into it, going into the conversation. We have to be humble in our approach and gracious in our approach, understanding how much Jewish blood has been shed at the hands of Christians. I mean, that's the harsh reality.
Quote unquote Christians.
Right, right.
We want to put the air quotes in there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So I think it starts with that. And yes, like you said, Mitch, we have a lot of resources available. One thing that comes to mind, honestly, is our Bible Institute. So we have Chosen People Bible Institute, CPBI. And Mitch, you have a class that's available on the Bible Institute, which is completely online. And you can go at your own pace and watch all the teaching, the lectures on videos, and engage with the material. But Mitch, you have a wonderful class on Jewish evangelism, which delves into this very issue. I would also recommend one of the books that we offer by our dear brother, Randy Newman. It's called Engaging with Jewish People. It's something where, again, you can educate yourself on the worldview, the Jewish worldview, the Jewish understanding of Christianity, and this chasm that exists in the minds of so many Jewish people, and then again, how to overcome that.
Yeah, it's a great book, and it's offered on the Chosen People website. The other thing I would show is point people to is our I Found Shalom website, which has over 100 testimonies of different types of Jewish people who have come to faith in Jesus, and that's very helpful. So ifoundshalom.com. Brother and sister, if you turn to that, you're never going to put it down, so to speak. I mean, you're just going to want to watch so many of these testimonies. They're well-made, very honest, very sincere, sometimes very raw, you know, where people express their feelings about Christianity and how God turned the tide in their own hearts. And it's really a wonderful website. And so one of the keys to helping a Jewish person know you can be Jewish and believe in Jesus is to introduce them to a Jewish believer. You can do that in person. You can do that through contacting Chosen People, and we might be able to help you locally. Or you can introduce them to a Jewish person who's a believer in Jesus online through I Found Shalom. So there are many ways to counter the notion that Jewish people, that believing in Jesus and being Jewish is impossible. It's not impossible. In fact, it happened to me. So God bless you. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Are Jesus and Yeshua the same person? If you read more about Jesus from different sources, you will probably come across another name, Yeshua. It may surprise you to learn that Yeshua is another name for Jesus. We have heard commenters say Jesus and Yeshua are not the same person, or that Yeshua is not his true name. We hope to clear up some of that misinformation. Jesus is Jewish, and Yeshua is his Hebrew name. Yeshua means salvation. It is related to the biblical name Joshua, or Yehoshua, which means the Lord saves. When Jesus was on earth, he lived in first century Israel during the time when Rome ruled much of Europe, Asia, and Africa. The common languages of the Jewish people in that day were Greek and the Semitic languages of Aramaic and Hebrew. When Jesus was walking around in Israel, his Jewish brothers and sisters would likely have called him Yeshua when they were speaking their native tongue. If Yeshua was how people called him, then where did the word Jesus come from? Jesus is the English transliteration of Yeshua's Greek name by way of Latin. Got that? In Greek, his name would have been Jesus, and the early Latin translations followed this pronunciation. Medieval Latin translators often wrote his name as Jesus with a J. At that time, the Latin J had the same sound as the Greek letter iota. When later interpreters translated the Bible from Latin to English, they retained the J. Of course, in modern English, the J sounds a bit different from the Latin J, which sounded like a Y. So that is how Jesus in Greek became Jesus in English. If Yeshua was the original name of Jesus in his native tongue, why do so few people call him by that name today? The answer is simply convention. The medieval Latin and English names gained widespread usage, obscuring the original Hebrew. However, with the amazing increase of Jewish people coming to faith in Jesus today, many have rediscovered his Hebrew name, which is becoming more commonly used. Many people use it to emphasize his Jewishness, which we should never forget. So, should we call him Jesus or Yeshua? Of course, if you are a Messianic Jewish person living in Israel, you would most likely call him by his Hebrew name, Yeshua. Ultimately, it comes down to personal preference and your native tongue. They are both his name, one from Latin and English, and one from Hebrew. We could also call him by the Greek Jesus, Spanish Jesus, or whatever his name in your native language is. It's up to you which one you like better, since they all refer to the same person, just in different languages. Yeshua is the name you will hear the most from many Jewish followers of Jesus because it highlights the fact he is Jewish. For us at Chosen People Ministries, we use Yeshua and Jesus interchangeably because we believe that these two names speak of our beloved Jewish Messiah who came to bring salvation to both Jewish and Gentile people alike.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today. To stay connected with us throughout the week, be sure to check us out on your social media platforms. You'll find us on Instagram and Facebook. And while you're there, just click the like or follow button so that you can stay up to date on what's happening here at Chosen People Ministries. And then don't forget that this program can be heard every weekend right here on your local radio station or online when you visit us at chosenpeople.com/radio.
That's right, Bobby. And when listeners connect with us online, we'll send them my book, Isaiah 53 Explained, for free. That's just our way of saying thanks for listening. Our website has a wealth of resources available to you today that will help you take your evangelistic efforts further this summer. And if you'd like to purchase a t-shirt or a hoodie to accompany your free book, you can do that too. You'll find all of this and much more at chosenpeople.com/radio.
You can also ask for Mitch's book, Isaiah 53 Explained, by writing to us at Chosen People Ministries, 241 East 51st Street in New York, New York, 10022. That's 241 East 51st Street, New York, New York, 10022. And now let's wrap up today's program with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yivrech Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. V'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.